The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, so the Red Sox won the World Series over the weekend, and I was kind of sad in the process because a lot of people I saw on Twitter and different sort of social media, Facebook, some of my friends, you know, all they did was sort of lament the whole, well, the Red Sox bought themselves another championship, baseball's ruined forever. And I know, I've heard this my whole life. When the Yankees paid Dave Winfield $1 million a year in the early 80s, it was the same sort of sentiment, right? Oh, the competitive balance is skewed. No one's ever going to win. And I started thinking about this. Look where we are with you know, there's four major sports in this country, but I'll just go with the top three. Look at where we are with those sports. The NFL, and we say this time and time again, does a great job of making sure that every team starts out the year with on an equal footing. And every team's fan base, even though they know maybe we're weak this year, maybe we're rebuilding, there's still a sense of, well, if we could string a couple of games together or some things work out, maybe there's an injury in our division that matters, maybe we can pull it off. And the NBA, look at where the NBA is right now. Golden State is so loaded it's sick. They're always loaded. But there is a sense that games are fun. That the league isn't good. It's not just about the champion. That you can settle in and watch two good NBA teams play and it not be for a championship. It's just a regular season matchup. And it's fun. And so the product isn't hurt by the fact that it all seems inevitable that Golden State is going to win yet another title. I mean, Klay Thompson hit like 14 three-pointers yesterday. Some teams don't hit that in a game, and he hit one in one game. Right, they routed the Chicago Bulls. They're terrible. But nevertheless, that's where the NBA is, right? The product and the athletes are what can draw you. In baseball, there really are fan bases that wake up and go, we do not have a chance at all. Going into this season, next season, and the season after, we have no chance of winning. Baseball for baseball's sake, you better love it. And I think that's the problem the sport has. Not so much the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Dodgers and the teams that spend a lot of money. It really is that feeling of when you have no hope, when your team is stripped down, you really don't have any hope, and then there's nothing. And that's a problem.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, the one good thing about Twitter, though, is sometimes you can use it for good, and the Red Sox are using it for good. They're responding to all the hate tweets they got on opening day when they lost to Tampa Bay 6-4. This is a great story. This is a great story. And you know what? Give credit to Boston. I don't know who came up with this idea of save all of those. We'll get them later. 6 months from now, when we go have our duck boat parade, we'll answer all of these lunatics who hate us after game one of 162. Well done, Boston. It's a good story.
Yeah, some of their comebacks are pretty good. I mean, they're not harsh. They're not like, you know, stick it to you and then, you know, sticking their thumb to their nose and whatever. They're just, I mean, they're simple like, hey, do you stand by what you said now?
One guy wrote, how does it feel to be the least liked team in Boston by a lot? And this was back in March 29th. And the Red Sox replied now is, it feels good to be world champions. That's great. What a great boom. Great. This is so good. By the way, I missed the start of game five. I missed the Larry Bird Magic Johnson intro, so I watched it yesterday on YouTube.
Oh, really?
That was great.
I didn't see that one. I saw the
That was really good. That was very it was a really, really good between two guys that were rivals and now good friends. It was very cool. I'm gonna have to watch out YouTube.
Yeah,
I didn't know
I'm coming down with another wormhole.
I didn't know they did it until I saw it on Twitter. And I said, oh, well, thank God I live in a day and age because, you know, back when I was a kid, if you missed it, you missed it. Now I just waited until somebody posted it, and then I got to watch it yesterday. And I thought it was great. It was really good.
Yeah, they also, Dodger Stadium, they also did Kirk Gibson and Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah, sat together. I saw that. That was pretty cool, too.
I was like,
it's like cats and dogs living together. What's going on with this?
It's the apocalypse.
It's the apocalypse.
Peter Venkman predicted this.
Back to the Red Sox thing. One guy had written back in March. So March 29th is when
it was opening day.
It's opening day, March 29th. So I'll just keep saying March 29th. One guy wrote to the Red Sox, time to fire Cora. The Red Sox responded, on it. And then one guy, how dumb can you be? Twitter brings out stupidity, doesn't it? They lose one game and one guy tweets 0-162. Then the Red Sox reply, wrong, 108 plus a World Series. Good for them. This is awesome.
Close.
Right. Sale deserves better, shaking my head. Sale deserves to pitch the ninth inning of a World Series. Oh, good stuff. This is great. Again, somebody had to think this up, right? I mean, somebody had to say, store these or keep these. Or I guess you could go back and find them. But, I mean, somebody thought that this would be a fun thing to do. And they're right. I mean, this is really cool. This is really good. Can you imagine sitting in a room coming up with just barbs? Like, I'm sure that's what they did. They're like, okay, Joe's tweet from Methuen. He says, time to trade Chris Sale. What do we answer with that? Let's go around the room. And then you come up with something and you throw it up there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but you know who the best is at Twitter as far as throwing barbs is Wendy's.
Oh, I heard this.
Wendy's,
but I don't have any examples. But somebody said that to, or somebody tweeted that or posted that they're really good at that.
My favorite one was when IHOP. Remember over the summer, IHOP changed their name to IHOB and was becoming International
Burgers.
House of Burgers.
Yeah, and that was like a comedy bit, right? They weren't real. That wasn't serious.
Yeah, well,
right?
let's be honest. It was a promo gone wrong.
Yeah,
they thought they were being smart. It backfired, and then they were like, "Oh no, we were just kidding."
Yeah,
they got their crack staff to backtrack on that one. No, but somebody had tweeted to Wendy's like, "Hey, Wendy's, how do you feel that IHOP is, you know, infringing on your burgers, you know, or you know, on your territory?" And the guy, whoever runs Wendy's Twitter or Wendy's social media, is absolutely brilliant because the only response is like, "Oh, we're not too worried for a company to come challenge us that found pancakes too hard." So something along those lines. It was just perfect. It was simple. And you just sat there and like, damn, that was a good burn.
Oh, that is a really good burn. That is a really good burn. That's very good.
But yeah, Wendy's, I mean, just Google it. I mean, Wendy's Twitter is fantastic.
I gotta check that out because I like that. When Twitter does that, that's pretty good. When Twitter does normally its other Twitter things, it's terrible. So But that's pretty good. That is really good. So good for the Red Sox coming back and doing this.
Well, like somebody tweeted at Wendy's. Hey, Wendy's, can you find me the nearest McDonald's? Wendy's tweets back to the trash can.
What kind of people on staff? That is great.
Or how about this one? How much does a Big Mac cost? Wendy's, your dignity.
Oh, my God. I have to admit, one time there was a time where I was, I hate even going there, but I was really getting heavy, and I was eating, I don't know. I was just eating a lot of food. And I remember once I went through a drive-thru and I was hungry, and I ordered 2 Big Mac sandwiches, but I only had 1 soda. And I thought to myself, no. So I ordered 2 sodas to thwart the lady behind the thing so that you wouldn't think I was just some fat pig ordering 2 sandwiches with a soda. I had an extra soda. I ordered an extra soda in my cart, ordering like I was ordering for 2 instead of me just devouring the 2 sandwiches at the same time. At that moment, I thought, I really have to stop this and go on a diet. Like, the moment I'm thinking about what the drive-thru lady cares, what,
like, right,
her 1,000th customer of the day.
Here, I'm going to leave you with this issue. One. McDonald's tweeted out Black Friday, and then, you know, has the asterisk and says need copy and link. So they tweeted that out. Somebody forgot to put the copy in there and the link.
Uh-huh.
So Wendy's retweeted it and quoted, when the tweets are as broken as the ice cream machine.
Yeah, that's I mean, just, now that's true. That's
it is
point.
So much. How many times you got? And remember that it was. It's so true to the fact that when McDonald's even came out and said, "Hey, made it like it was a news announcement. It was like, we're going to fix the ice cream machine."
Yeah, exactly.
And I found I heard a rumor somewhere. The number one reason why they always break down, they always malfunction, is because they're never cleaned properly.
Oh, really?
And okay. My thinking was they're never cleaned.
My thought was that somewhere in Colorado, in like Aspen, is a chalet with a sales guy who conned all the McDonald's into these really cheap, awful ice cream machines, and now is living off that royalty because he did such an amazing sales job selling them pieces of crap. Like, we'll give them ice cream machines. It'll barely work. And they only cost us $1.25 to make. And we'll sell them for thousands of dollars. And that's what I thought. Like, they just got conned by some big sales guy that was like, I'll fit all your McDonald's with these fancy ice cream machines. And they're really garbage. And they just didn't want to. They were like, well, we got conned into them. We're keeping them for a while. We'll figure it out.
It could be that too.
That's what I thought. But no, that's the cleaning thing's probably a better explanation.
Yeah. I remember hearing that or reading that somewhere, that one of the biggest problems I have is because they're never cleaned properly, in which I don't think they'd probably ever cleaned.
Listen, I'm telling you.
But that is the most disappointing thing, because
it is so sad. You're right.
When you go to that drive-thru and you're ready to order and you just have a milkshake on your mind or, you know, like that. I'm sorry. They have one of the best hot fudge sundaes.
Oh, it's great. And they're like a dollar.
Yeah, that's what makes it great.
It's a dollar. They're great. You get the little peanuts, shake them on top, wolf it down, and it's real ice cream. It's not that ice milk crap other places have, where it's disgusting. They real ice cream. It's delicious. But you can eat it quick. It's enough.
But more often than not, you get there, and it's like, oh, sorry, our ice cream machine is broken, sir.
Yeah.
Like, forget it. I'm going.
Like, I mean, listen, I love my ice cream, but sometimes I go to a place and I feel like I'm going to go blind because I eat like a big thing of ice cream and I feel terrible. The McDonald's is just the perfect size where it's like, I get this, the sweet tooth is over, I'm good, thank you, goodbye. And it's a dollar and change with tax.
And in the back of my mind, you could have more. If you had another one, you'd be like, I would probably devour this one too, and then I'd feel bad about myself, so... Thank you, McDonald's, for giving us something in portions.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Well done, Wendy's. And well done, Boston Red Sox, for the to the entertainment. Now
we're just
now
going back and responding.
You're bragging a little bit. You're showing off a little bit, but that's okay. You totally can do that. You have every right to do that. You're the world champs.
It's funny. If you really go through like the timeline of it all or really look down, there are some people who are still defending. Like, I said that way back at opening day. And like people are like, dude, just take the L.
Just take the L. Your team won the World Series, and you thought they sucked on opening day because they lost one game. One out of 162. Let me make I'll tell a story real quick. I know I think I told this once before, but I always set the scene about there was this moment in May of this year when I was living in New Jersey and the Red Sox and Yankees were playing, and the Red Sox kind of were not struggling a bit, but, you know, and the Yankees were on fire. I mean, the Yankees had found their rhythm and they were on fire. And I remember there was a big series in New York, and my daughter's music recital, they wanted to get out early because everybody wanted to go home and watch the game. It's May. It's the second month of the season. And I remember I just posted on Facebook, this series that's coming up at Yankee Stadium feels a lot more important than it is, or something like that. I mean, just there was energy in the area where I was for Yankees Red Sox in May. And a friend of mine who's a diehard Red Sox fan, watches every game, even the West Coast games, lives in South Carolina, went to high school with him, and he just wrote back, "It isn't." That's all he wrote. "It isn't." He was 100% right. It was irrelevant. It wasn't an important series at all. It was way too much baseball to be played. The Red Sox were struggling at the time. The Yankees were on fire, but it really was way too early in the season. And that's baseball. It is such a marathon. You know, people make that line, it's a marathon, not a sprint. It is truly a marathon. It really is incredible how you just cannot get overly emotional about baseball games. You are going to lose 50 of these things, no matter how good you are. You're going to lose. And the Red Sox just proved that. I mean, they were, no matter what little problem they were going, they were never going to not be an excellent, excellent baseball team. That goes to show you that the sport. That's the one beauty about the sport, is it's not, you don't really get phony champions. I mean, you may get teams that don't win as many games, but that's really not here or there. You don't get any, there's no real phony champions in baseball. You really have to be a well put together baseball team. There's no flukes. You win the whole thing. And that's you go through a lot to win a championship. So good for Boston. Even if you hate the Red Sox, what they did was pretty incredible. Even if you think they bought it, listen, there's a lot. I can give you a list. I can give you a list, a longer list of 150 plus million dollar payrolls that didn't win a World Series or didn't even come close than the ones that did. All right. There's a lot of years with a lot of teams that spend a lot of money on players that don't go anywhere near a World Series. There's a lot more of them than there are of seasons where the team that spent the most money wins a championship. Don't go overboard on this. If you're an Astros fan, you don't need to spend $200 million. You still have got a very, very good baseball team. 800-777-2907 on SB Nation AM. Tony D and Ron Culver moving along.
This is Mike Hurd from Let's Talk Wheels, automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. If your vehicle is less than 10 years old, odds are you have a tire pressure monitoring system. When a tire gets low on air, a little picture of a flat tire lights up on your dash. These sensors are a great safety feature because a tire low on air can blow out and cause you to lose control. You know, a lot of times if your tires are just a little low, the first cold fall morning will trigger the sensor and remind you to check your tire pressures. All tires lose pressure, so you should check your tire pressures monthly. Now, if you're just driving along and the light comes on, you most likely ran over something and damaged the tire. If that happens, you need to stop and check it right away. If that tire blows, it can cause thousands of dollars of damage and you'll be adding a wrecker fee. There's no reason to put off checking your tire pressures, folks. Tire stores and auto shops will check your tires and tire pressures for free. So, let's be safe. This is Mike Hurd from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
At the Jeep Adventure Days event, you'll find great deals. Like the great outdoors are never out of reach. And now, not even the sky's the limit, thanks to Jeep Renegade's class-exclusive MySky open-air roof, giving you a whole new vantage point to see the world. Make a grand entrance or take a grand adventure by combining luxury and capability in the most awarded SUV ever, the Jeep Grand Cherokee. And never lose touch with your adventurous side or your loved ones in a Jeep Compass, offering the most technology and connectivity in its class, like the available 8.4-inch Uconnect touchscreen. Experience an adventure unlike any other in a lineup unlike any other today at the Jeep Adventure Days event. But hurry, these great deals won't last. Available features based on Jeep brand small SUV segmentation. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Based on compact SUV segmentation. OEM website, auto knowledge. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so 10 minutes, John Peterlin will join us from the Fan in Cleveland to talk. I'm going to try to hit him up on Tyronn Lue, too. But I'm so curious about the Browns. What the heck went wrong?
Well, because that's your team. That's our team,
baby. I mean, we got to get to the bottom of this.
You're ditching him. You're going, you know what? Steelers beat the Browns. I'm going to go Steelers now.
Yeah,
like
I'm
a typical
off.
Fan.
I know. I'm jumping off now. But I got to get a little Tyronn Lue because
he got fired too.
He didn't get the same big, huge, gigantic splash that Hugh Jackson got. he was almost like an afterthought. Like, can you imagine the Tyronn Lue conversation is, all right, Lue, you knew this was going to happen, right? LeBron's gone, and we have no interest in having you around.
He got fired on Sunday, right?
Right.
It was Sunday. Yeah. I mean, see, that's the problem. You don't even know when he got fired.
No, I can't even remember. I just remember it flashed on my TV one moment, and I don't even remember what I was doing.
I think it was during the NFL London game.
Yeah.
That nobody was watching.
But when Hugh Jackson got fired, I knew immediately and went, oh, no! Jackson.
Yeah, because my first reaction, I saw Hugh Jackson fired. I'm like, whoa, did Todd Haley get his job? Let me check.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought, too. And then when I found out he was gone, I was like, oh.
It took a half a second for Todd Haley to show up. I was like, oh, okay, nah, I feel all right.
Yeah,
I'd have felt bad for Hugh if Todd Haley got the job.
And here's the deal. Let me tell you something. This is one of the reasons you guys should listen to this show first before you hit any media, okay? Just listen to this show first. Because at about the same time that the Cleveland Brown story on Jackson at ESPN.com, Dan Graziano is the writer, and he writes why Hugh Jackson had to go. So listen to the way he starts this paragraph and tell me if this doesn't sound similar to what I said at the start of this program about Hugh Jackson. When you have a new baby napping in the house and your two older children are fighting over a toy and the fight gets so loud, you'll worry it's going to wake up the baby. You don't pick which one of them gets to have the toy. You take it away from both of them. Isn't that what I said at the beginning of the show today when I said, I don't want justice, I want peace? With my two children is exactly what the Browns did.
Yep.
That was,
You used teenagers instead of babies.
I used teenagers instead of young kids fighting over a toy. But the same concept applies, does it not, right?
Yeah, he's listening to our show.
He is. That's a great idea. I'm going to write my article in 5 minutes about that.
Yeah, now he's vanilla icing your queen.
Right. But it's a little different, right? That goes dun, 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 dun. And mine goes dun, 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 dun. See, it's a little different. It's that little thing that makes it different.
That slight change.
It's that slight change. Vanilla ice. I liked it when Vanilla Ice, this has got me on a tangent, I'm sorry. I liked in that Behind the Music where Vanilla Ice talked about how Suge Knight held him over a balcony to get the royalties from Ice Ice Baby.
And you know what's funny? We don't even question whether that happened or not. We know it happened.
Completely believed it was true the moment he said it.
I mean, he could have been making it up. He could have been making himself larger than he is. Yeah, but as soon as he says, like, well, of course Suge Knight would do that. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, and there's so many times where celebrities tell stories like that. We're like, you're full of crap. That didn't happen. Like, stop it. But when Vanilla Ice says Suge Knight dangled him over a balcony for royalties to Ice Ice Baby, and that's why he signed them over, we totally believe that actually occurred. It's when he tried to change the story and went, no, it was a smooth approach. It was professional. That we went, you're full of crap. He dangled you over a balcony. Say it. Just say it. He dangled you over a balcony. Jeez.
And literally shook you for your change.
Shook you for your change. So we're going to have Peterlin on to talk about the Browns. This is very tough. You know what? All seriousness, though, I am nervous for Baker Mayfield. This is where, you know it and I know it, this is where quarterbacks get lost in this league, right? This is where you lose them. This is where good prospects, guys with some talent, get the wrong coaching and they start falling apart and they get in an organization that's a disaster, and then that disaster makes them a disaster, and then they're just never they're a where are they now video. I mean, that's what I don't want this to happen to Baker Mayfield. He's too exciting of a player. They better make sure they got the right guy for his sake. And again, I suggested this, and it's probably not going to go down because he's a rookie. He has every right to go into John Dorsey's office and say, can I just throw my 50 cents in here and tell you what I think as a quarterback and what I'm learning so far? Take it for what it is. Don't take it for what it is. I don't care, but I just want to get it off my chest. He's every right to do that. He's the franchise quarterback. The next coach, he should have a little bit of an input, not in the hiring process. I'm not suggesting he's in the meetings, but he should be able to say, hey, this is what I like, and this is how this is the kind of personality I work best in. Because, listen, this league has got a lot of the guys like this who have gotten lost in org. If the Cleveland Browns fall apart and Baker Mayfield is the captain of the ship, it's going to be sad because Baker Mayfield is really fun to watch. They don't win games, but he is fun to watch. So I don't want him to be destroyed.
Nah, he's going to be okay.
You think so? I hope so.
He'll still have Wiley.
That's right. Coach Wiley. God love him. Thanks to Hard Knocks, I would have never known anything about him. And then Hard Knocks opened my eyes to what kind of wonderful character he is. All right, John Peterlin from The Fan in Cleveland will join us. We'll talk Browns, and we'll get a little Tyron Lue question in there as well. It's SB Nation AM.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the first domino to fall in the coaching ranks of the NFL, Hugh Jackson, is gone. Now listen, Hard Knocks is one of those programs that can allow you, the average NFL fan who lives in all these other cities across America, to get a little bit more knowledge on some of these guys on a personal level. It's what one of the reasons why I like the show is that we kind of look at these coaches and players and we think very almost analytically, and this brings a little bit more dimension into their personality. So we got to see a different side of Hugh Jackson. We saw when he was going through a death in the family. We saw him jump in the lake. We saw him try to build this team back up. Now he's fired, and where do the Browns go from here? John Peterlin from The Fan in Cleveland joins us here on SB Nation AM to sort of break this all down. How are you, Jonathan?
Tony, my friend. How you doing, man?
Good, man. All right, so right off the bat, this had to happen, right? I mean, there was no way he was not getting canned after this 2-5-1 start and the rift with Todd Haley. This had to go down, correct?
Yeah, it was inevitable. It wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. I personally, it's funny because I was doing some shows earlier last week and I got a lot of people mad because, we were supposed to have big rivalries in football. And it's, Brown Steelers, one of the all-time ones around these parts. And, people put it up there with Ohio State, Michigan. They're unfair, but they do. And even though it hasn't been much of a rivalry lately. And I said, if it costs Hugh Jackson his job to have the Browns get embarrassed, I do that 10 times out of 10, and then everything obviously unfolded the way it did. Browns get blown out, cost Hugh Jackson his job, cost Todd Haley his job. I look like a genius, which worked out great for me, Tony. I got to be honest with you. That's all we really care about, right? But in the process, it set everything up, too. We don't have to go through the Chiefs and the Falcons week going into the bye wondering whether or not Hugh Jackson will be able to finish out the year. Everything gets done. We get to have Greg Williams for the next 8 weeks, and then you get to see the coaching search from there.
Okay, so on the surface, he goes through a one-win season, winless season, right, in the Browns. But it felt like, okay, this is the year. You could push all of that aside, and this is the fresh start the Browns were looking for. And they go 2-5-1, but they're in overtime games. They're closer. They look better. They've got better talent. So how come he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt of, hey, as we're rebuilding, let him rebuild with us?
Well, Jimmy Haslam tried. He really did. I say that as much as you possibly can for an owner that threw Hugh Jackson to the sacrificial lambs of what was a roster that couldn't compete with anybody. But I think 1-31 speaks for itself. There's really no justifying in today's NFL how even if you have one of the worst rosters you could possibly assemble, and even if you are trying to tank and trying to make sure you acquire as many assets as possible and have as high of a draft pick as possible, to come away with just one win in 2 years is inexcusable. But Jimmy Haslam gave him the benefit of the doubt. Started out this year, as you mentioned, overtime games, had close situations, but it was the infighting that got him canned and got him axed. And Jimmy Haslam said so yesterday. the reports, the back and forth between Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson, the biggest thing John Dorsey wanted in coming here and the biggest thing he was going to try to change and what was going to make everything different from 1999 was going to be the culture and was going to be the fact that when you looked at the Browns, you didn't have the Jason Lockenfour reports every Sunday morning about where something was wrong. Ultimately, with Hugh Jackson, they just kept popping up, and this latest back and forth between himself and Todd Haley was just too much, and it tips Jimmy Haslam over the edge. It wasn't as if Hugh Jackson was doing so much that you could think to yourself, okay, if they become 8-9, 10-win team, are they getting the most out of these players? Are they getting the most out of these situations? Even the things he was in control of, whether that's clock management, whether that's even helping out with the offense on a week-to-week basis, they weren't doing a good job. So it was an easy decision for Jimmy Haslam, and he felt justified that he didn't necessarily put Hugh Jackson in the worst career position possible, even though at the end of it, Hugh Jackson won't be able to get a job anywhere.
All right, I worry for Baker Mayfield now because, I mean, if they go back and they pick the wrong guy or this coach doesn't maximize Mayfield and the team falls apart around him, I worry for him. He's a rookie. He should have no say in the hiring of a head coach, but should he at least go to John Dorsey and say, these are the kind of personalities I work well with?
You're right. He should have no say in it. But if I'm John Dorsey, I'm wise to listen to it. If everything goes like John Dorsey already has his football life in the hands of Baker Mayfield. Right? When you choose Baker at number one overall and you take him over Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen and even Josh Allen, even though I'm sure you weren't high on him either, but when you make that move at number one, that's your NFL job. That's your career on the line. So yeah, he'd be wise if Baker said, listen, I love Lincoln Riley, make every effort to make that happen. He'd be wise to listen, of course, but I'm not as worried about Baker because Baker and what I've been able to see and what we've been able to see, progress isn't linear for these rookie quarterbacks. He's going to have his ups and downs, and he's had his ups and downs. But year two is the developmental year. It's just hoping Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley didn't have as much of an imprint. But if Mitchell Trubisky can wipe away what happened with John Fox in year one and move to Matt Nagy and everything be okay, I still believe that if you're a good quarterback, you'll be a good quarterback once you get that good coach.
All right, so it's been 24 hours, so immediately names start popping up. You mentioned Lincoln Riley. We've been talking about Lincoln Riley. I had a name immediately come to mind, and then our good friend Pete Futak at his website, collegefootballnews.com, thought it was stupid. And so now I'm thinking I might be stupid, I'm not. I know, it's Urban Meyer. Is there a buzz in Cleveland? Go after Urban Meyer, who may actually hate his job at Ohio State now.
Okay. I love Pete, but you know Pete. You can tell him the number 7 team in the country is looking good, and he'll tell you 12 reasons why the number 7 team
I know. That's
sucks.
The problem. I thought it was brilliant, and then Pete said it, Pete wrote about it and said, this is dumb. And I said, oh, wait a minute. Okay. But I still want to know. All right, so I'm asking you, in Cleveland land, in Ohio, Urban Meyer could easily say, listen, I don't like what Ohio State did to me. This is crap. I'm done with this garbage. I was mistreated here, even in his own mind, even though we may think otherwise. Could they make a play for Urban Meyer in Cleveland?
You know what's funny is that I was thinking about this earlier because, at my station, we had a different Browns reporter on, and they were giving out names. There was a name that hadn't really popped up yet, and that was Dabo Swinney. And I thought to myself, okay, I heard Dabo today.
Yeah.
Yesterday I heard David Shaw. Yesterday I heard Lincoln Riley. I heard Matt Campbell. I also heard Nick Saban for a legitimate Browns people told me Nick Saban. So I thought to myself, are we just picking every great college head coach and just throwing them into the mix? For like, is that legitimately where we're at right now? Like everybody just throws every great coach in until we uncover everybody. So listen, if you want to throw in Urban, Pete Fusek can tell you suck for it, but I'll tell you you won't. I don't think it'll happen. I would bet heavy against it happening, but you throw that against the wall and you're not far off from everybody else.
All right, that's very good. All right, so in all seriousness, we actually were talking about this earlier. Again, it's all speculation, so I get it. We don't even have interviews yet, and Greg Williams will finish it out. But in your gut, and knowing what this team needs and what John Dorsey's likely to do, is the name that is the guy they're going to introduce, is that going to be one of those big, huge names that your average kind of follows this on the periphery knows? Or is it going to be a coordinator that maybe some of us know, but a lot of people never heard of, but he's really good?
Yeah, I think it's going to be option B there. I think it's going to be somebody that, like a Zach Taylor type, where maybe, you know, maybe you know the name a little bit, you know what they do with the Rams, and you know, the impact that he's had on that offense, you know, maybe a little bit of his past. But to me, like, as much as I want a Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell, oh, man, the people have been pushing for Matt Campbell for the past 24 hours like you wouldn't believe. But John Dorsey, what is John Dorsey? He's like the ultimate football guy's football guy. And he's the person that would want to go with. Again, if you're going to put your job on the line, you're going to go with somebody that you're comfortable with. And there's nobody that's better well-connected in NFL circles than John Dorsey. So I would like to think, and I probably will think, that he'll tap into those resources. And he'll quiz as many guys as possible. And they'll try to get that Matt Nagy type, that somebody from, you know, somebody that is well-regarded in NFL circles that hasn't been given the shot yet but is a young, creative, offensive mind. Like, the only way you whiff, though, and the only way I'll be mad is if you either, A, hire somebody that's over 50 or, B, hire somebody that's defensive. And even the over 50 thing, I can be – well, even the over 50 thing, I can be flexible with if it's somebody like a Frank Reich that was, you know, 56 but came from – Doug Peterson, who's from the Andy Reid tree, who has this, like, young, creative offensive mind to himself, even though he's a little bit on the older end. But, like, what I want is somebody that can be, ideally, somebody that could be, like, a Bill Belichick, Tom Brady pairing for Baker Mayfield and then whoever they actually choose. So you can have somebody that's there for 10, 15, 20 years if everything goes right. That's extremely idealistic of me and maybe not even practical of me. But if I'm John Dorsey, that's the route I go. That's the decision I try to make in that light.
Ron and I are very disappointed that they didn't hire Coach Wiley to be the head coach. Why couldn't we see him running out and just leading this team? What? Why not? Why are we getting Bounty Gate Williams as a head coach in this NFL?
Hey, he's the man. Like, Greg Williams is legitimately. It was funny because we mentioned about Al Saunders a little bit yesterday, and I had a report from somebody that's very high up and knows, and I was getting text messages like, Al Saunders the guy, and I'm like, okay, great. And it didn't make any sense because it was Hugh Jackson was always Al Saunders' guy. It was never going to be him. Bob Wiley, by the way, listen, I've never seen anybody become so beloved for what they do on Hard Knocks. Like, he became – everyone loves Bob Wiley.
Everybody loves him. You're right.
And he drives this obnoxious Maserati, and I see it around town all the time, and it's white, and, I mean, it's tiny, and, of course, he's so big, and it makes no sense. But because of all this, the best part about all this is that his offensive line is looking really bad right now.
I know.
And I'm not going to break it down for you, but they paid $38 million to a right tackle that can't do anything, and they got a left tackle who's an undrafted rookie out of West Georgia. I mean, it's unreal how many people love this guy when his actual unit isn't that good, but that's not why you call it. Greg Williams is the right choice for what they needed and for what they were. It was always the obvious choice, assuming Todd Haley wasn't there.
So what exactly is going on in that town? Because on Sunday, I get a little blurb on my TV that says Tyronn Lue gets fired. The Browns go, hold my beer. We're taking over the news cycle. Stop with this nonsense. We're going, like, to have two coaching changes within a, 24-hour period. I don't remember that. I mean, I'll have to rack my brain, but that's very, very uncommon.
Yeah, it's tough for Ty Lue because a lot of people are having a hard time with that one. I think that they're doing him a favor more than anything else. Ty Lue's had health problems over the past couple years. He doesn't want to be around this team. He could preach until he was blue in the face about how he wanted to coach up the young guys and wanted to do this and that. Like, it's better for Ty Lue to be in front of ESPN for a year and then figure out his way beyond that. But coaching this team that's going to be one of the worst in the NBA and it's going to show no sign. Like, we didn't know it would be this bad, Tony. We had the projections around 31 wins, and if you were being positive, maybe 35.
Yeah.
We didn't know that through six games, everyone's adjusted it. Now we're like, maybe they can hit 15 wins. It's really bad.
John, good stuff as always, my friend, and I'm sure we'll get with you soon when more news comes out of the Cleveland area, which seems to be often. Thank you, my buddy.
Always fun to talk, my friend. Take care,
John. Jonathan Peterlin, the fan in Cleveland, on the coaching changes going on, including Hugh Jackson. All right, so again, you know, we had a little fun with Urban, a little Urban. I think Lincoln Riley is a legitimate name. I don't think it's something that's going to happen. I really don't. I think Lincoln Riley stays exactly where he is. I think it's just too quick of a jump. He just got that job like 2 years ago. He just got that job. And I think, and they moved, I think they moved a little, some pieces for him to get that job. I think they brought him in specifically to get that job. Also because he's a brilliant offensive coordinator. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they would have had him for that reason too. But I also think that when they made the decision, when they said, we want to hire Lincoln Riley, they brought him in. I think they went, and also heir apparent, if Stoops, who had toyed around with the idea of leaving at various times, feeling like that was coming sooner than later, that they would have a guy that would step in. And I think Riley understands that. Now, again, you always protect yourself, right? I mean, it's always Lincoln Riley Incorporated before anything else. Take care of yourself, take care of your family first, and give yourself the best opportunity, because no one's going to give it to you. But I do think he says, yeah, I really need to hang out here a little bit more. I got plenty of time to get into the league. Baker Mayfield or no Baker Mayfield, I need to stay here. I think Peterlin's right. Ron and I were talking about it, and we both agree. I think if you're not a huge NFL fan, meaning you don't know coordinators, you don't really follow it that closely, this will be a name you don't really know. For some of the insiders that follow teams a little closely, they'll probably recognize some of the names. But I think this is not going to be the big splash. This is not going to be a Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley, big, huge splash. I think it is going to be a young coordinator from a young team that's doing really well, that is a guy that's on the uprise that people are talking about in the inner sanctum of the NFL. I think that's where the Cleveland Browns will go next. 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Ron, give me a name. Give me a name for the Browns job.
All right. This might seem a little outlandish.
Okay.
But it was something that Peterlin said where, you know, you want to try to find a coach that can groom, that can grow with this quarterback.
Yes.
And he said the name. He said Bill Belichick and Tom Brady scenario. Why not bring Bill Belichick back to the Browns?
Very cool. Very interesting.
I mean, I know it's far-fetched. It's outlandish. But if you think about it, his run with the Patriots is getting more and more tense every single day. His run-ins with Brady just don't make sense anymore.
Did he like it in Cleveland? Because remember, he was the last coach of the Cleveland Browns. I went to Baltimore. He was their last coach.
So why not bring him back? He has a new quarterback,
Baker Mayfield,
that he can play with. And what if all of a sudden Cleveland becomes Championship City?
Yeah. What if Robert Kraft gets three first round picks for Bill Belichick?
Yeah. Can we make it happen?
Let's make that happen. Yeah, the Browns could certainly use a boost like that, that's for sure. SB Nation Radio.